to do with malvertisements. I know you're probably thinking, Felicia, I'm sick and tired of hearing about malvertisements. Except I've got a real-world example to tell you about, and this is something that actually affected somebody in our community. So I think you probably want to know about it because then if you know about it, then you can say, oh, okay, well, that's what I can do with my home computer to make sure that that's not happening to me. So I'm going to tell you about that. And then we're going to talk about some interesting vulnerabilities in these SmartThings apps that are out there for Android and iPhone devices that have to do with home automation. And then we're going to talk about the data information brokers and an interesting case that has recently gone up to the Supreme Court with regards to these data information brokers. So let's get started with the real world example of something that actually happened to somebody in our community here. And they brought me their system and showed me what was going on with it. And what it was is that they had browsed to Entertainment Online, which is obviously a website that I'm sure many of you know. And as many websites, Entertainment Online has a bunch of embedded advertisements in it. So, sure enough, one of those advertisements was hacked with malicious code. Well, at least one of them. It only takes one to be able to cause a problem. And the result was that, and I'm going to post these pictures for you, so that you can actually see them. So in the article that associates this podcast, I'm actually going to post these images so that you can see them. So the first one was that the user was actually seeing is a message that says, "Do not shut down or restart your computer. Doing so may lead to data loss, and you have to call Microsoft certified technicians to resolve the issue." And it gave a phone number there. And then it says a serious malfunction has been detected between Windows 10 and your Microsoft Edge browser. and the worst part was that it just amped up the entire emotion of the event for the person by literally jacking the speakers on the computer, and it went, I mean, it was like a klaxon. It was like a terrible klaxon alarm. It was like a fire alarm. It was so bad. Well, so I ended up, oh my goodness, yeah. So now the other interesting thing that came out of this is I saw that their consumer grade software product that was their host-based security product had actually been disabled. It had been turned off and disabled by this malware. And the person said to me, "Yes, but I followed your advice and I set up a password on that consumer grade product so that I could, have this sort of thing prevented." And I said, "Well, it's only like a settings change prevention password and an uninstall password. What it's not is it's not an unload password." Now, at the point in time that you get to a business class product like Trend's Worry-Free Business Security Services product, there is an unload password and an uninstall password. And that means that you can't do either without the password. However, I'm going to give you a big, giant caveat on that. That setting will only exist if your Worry-Free Business Security Services tenant was configured by somebody who was certified in the software and actually knew how to do that. Now, myself, I have about 20 Trend certifications, so and I actually have what's called a small business security specialization. So what that means is that I've worked extensively with that software package and the entire Smart Protection Complete suite, and I know all about what those various products are going to do in various scenarios. And if you're going to have a host-based security product, then partnering with somebody like myself It makes a difference. I just had a client out in the West Coast yesterday contacting me saying, "Hey, this is happening," and they were just Skype messaging me, in fact. And I said, "Oh, well, that's normal. You know, wait another minute because this is actually what's happening." And so sure enough, they waited another minute, and then the whole thing that they thought was an issue, it really wasn't an issue. That was normal operations. So this message that this person in our community saw, they were just browsing to Entertainment Online website, and because their host-based security product did not have an aggressive advertisement blocking application capability in it, then this malvertisement not only launched and displayed scareware, it played this klaxon on the speakers, and then it actually unloaded the security product. Yeah. So it was pretty darn bad. Yeah. Pretty darn bad. And so you say, well, how did you fix it? Okay, well, here's how I fixed it. So the first thing that you want to always be doing is not browsing the internet as an administrator account. And this person was pretty savvy, and so they were not browsing the internet as an administrative level account. Because of that, the malware was not able to do any further damage to the computer. And that's very, very important. So then I was able to use their admin credentials to uninstall the insufficient consumer grade host-based security product. That went away, and we put a license of Trend Worry-Free Business Security Services on that computer. And the configuration of that agent is controlled by myself. So therefore, I get reports on a weekly basis for all of the computers that are connected to the tenants that I manage. And that's really important. So I've got another client in the Kenosha area who was doing a lot of web browsing, and they didn't have a perimeter security appliance at the time, but at least they had the Trend Worry-Free Business Security Services agent. And in my reports that I'm getting, it's telling me about the thousands and thousands and thousands of URLs that are associated with advertising that are being blocked before they're able to execute on this person's computer. And that's super important. And that type of information, in combination with other things, such as things that the client would email me and say, "Hey, this is going on," or "I noticed this and that." So think about it in the way of having the analytics to detect and to correlate events and patterns of things that are happening. So if you're going to get to the bottom of what's going on, or in the case also that you want to be proactive and prevent these sorts of problems, you need to have those analytics that says, ah, okay, well, these events are happening and they're being reported by this system, and then these events are happening and being reported by this other system. And when you correlate the two together, you end up with a very clear picture of what's actually happening. So then you can put together a strategy that says, all right, so clearly the world has changed yet again, even though, you know, we all know that there's 12,000 new viruses per hour. And don't think I'm exaggerating, by the way. This is widely published statistics. There are 12,000 new viruses per hour. The number may have even gone up since I last saw it a few months ago. Suffice to say that we live in a very, very, very dynamic threat landscape. And this is not a matter of simply having strategies in place. This is a matter of you have to have strategies, and then you have to monitor it. You have to pay attention to what's going on. There's new stuff happening all the time. And of course, this is what I do for a living, is I look at the threat analytics for over 1,000 machines and over 100 different networks, and I get to see what's happening in all of those areas. And this actually helps a lot from the perspective of, I see a threat occurring in one area, And then that means that when I either see that the mitigation is effective, or I see that a setting needs to be changed. And if it needs to be changed, then I can roll that throughout the systems that I manage within a reasonable time frame, typically within 2 days, so 48 hours. And that's much better active management than, frankly, than you're going to get out of any other consulting firm. The majority of consulting firms out there, they literally do not have anybody whose job it is to do security. You know, in most consulting firms, you have technicians who are answering phone calls and maybe working on installs, add removes, deletes, and things like that. But you typically don't have anybody in a proactive maintenance and monitoring role that actually has all the security certifications that I do. And so, given the fact that security is really where it's at nowadays, then that's either what you either have security and you have something that's actively working on security, or you don't. And in the case that you don't, then you're in a totally reactive mode where the bad stuff's going to come and get you at some point in time. So let's go back to, and then we'll talk about the financials of that in a bit here. So let's go back to this home user computer that I saw this week, where it had the scareware that came from the advertisement, and I uninstalled the consumer grade security product and I put Worry Free Business security services on that computer. Then I did a full system scan, and I actually loaded that user's profile registry as a Hive to inspect offline. And that allows for a deeper inspection of what may have happened from a damage perspective by the malware. And it was clean. And then I used some other tools and looking at all the network packets that were going out of the computer from the computer's perspective and that were going through the network layer from the network layer perspective. And I actually have a network configuration that allows me to take suspect systems and hook them up in an extremely isolated configuration so that they can literally be observed as to what they're doing. And that is tremendous because you oftentimes cannot diagnose what's really happening with that thing. Is it clean? Is it compromised? Is it going to do funny things as soon as it gets its internet connection back? So you have to give it a network connection, and then you have to get the computer to think that it has an internet connection, and then watch it. Watch it like a hawk. And of course, have all kinds of perimeter security appliance programs in there with proxies and these sorts of things to stop anything that could potentially be an advanced persistent threat or a command and control callback device or anything like that, right? Yeah, but I mean, if you're going to actually diagnose a system, you have to have all that stuff in place. And I would be willing to bet good Vegas money that nobody else in the three county region actually has something like that. I'm serious. So anyhow. Let's go back to the fixing of this machine. Put the Trend Worry Free Business Security Services agent on it. Verify that it's installed and it's fully updated. You do the full scan, okay? You find things or you don't find things, and you always use more than one technique to check things out. And then checking out what's in the user profile, verifying that that's kosher, log on as the user profile and make sure that things are kosher there. Do some additional monitoring, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then you want to push the envelope a little bit further. And that envelope is, hey, let's go back to Entertainment Online and let's see how does the computer now behave with the new host-based security product on it. And lo and behold, the result was that the malvertisements were completely blocked. It was invisible and silent to the user of the computer. And the advertisements didn't even appear to ever even be there at all. I mean, they just weren't there. So I was talking to the person, and they're telling me, "Oh yeah, well, earlier today there was this, there was this whole bank of stuff on the right-hand side of this website when I went to it, and then there isn't anymore, there isn't any more of those things showing up." Okay, well, then what happened? Well, if you go in and you look at logs, what you end up seeing is all those URLs getting blocked by the host-based security product as advertisements. So on the positive side, there wasn't any malicious URLs that were actually being blocked as a malicious URL. But oftentimes that will happen when you just are proactively blocking the advertisements. And I reflected on this entire incident, and it occurred to me that in the last 2 years, I've done five podcasts, five Breakfast Bites radio shows on the topic of malvertisements and the threat that they present to you, to even your home computer, and how easy it is to mitigate this threat with the proper software. Now, the proper software by itself is not always a sufficient, complete solution. Usually, what will happen is the proper software will prevent the majority of the issues. But if you really find that your web browsing activities are more intense than somebody else, and you find that you're having issues even though you have the host-based security product and it's properly configured and is doing its job and things like that, but the types of threats that exist are just they're more aggressive, or they have more facets to them and more techniques and strategy. In that case, you are left with little option but to get a perimeter security appliance. And these things are not, you will never be able to install one of these yourself. In terms of if you look at the entire Midwest, there's probably less than 20 people in the entire Midwest that properly know how to program a perimeter security appliance, and I'm one of them. And I'm not kidding you, there is, it's an art form. There are very few people that have that kind of certification that are available to the business world or to the public to be able to access. If there are some specialized administrators that happen to be employees inside of Fortune 100 companies, well, they're not accessible to you as a resource under any circumstance. And I would even argue that if you look at a consulting firm in Chicago, as an example, who's charging $300 an hour, that's not accessible to you either. So, in terms of accessibility, there's probably less than 20 of us throughout the entire Midwest, and from my understanding, I'm one of the few that's in southeastern Wisconsin. So if you do actually want to have a perimeter security appliance that is correctly configured, and if you want to manage it yourself, I have a long successful track record of training IT managers how to manage their own perimeter security appliances and then maintaining that relationship so that I can be their escalation support mechanism and continue to give them tips and tricks as they go on. Because, as I said, we live in a very dynamic threat landscape, and you've got to be on the game here. This is not a matter of set it and forget it. So, with regards to home residential sort of scenarios, I do put in quite a lot of perimeter security appliances in residential settings. They're not cheap. However, look at the entire cost profile of this stuff. So, typically, and whether you go to Best Buy or wherever the heck it is that you go, that you're currently going when you have some sort of computer-related issue, let's just say it costs you $250 a crack to have somebody fix your computer, and let's hope that that's actually a fix. But it's not a solution implementation, it's not a strategy that is actually going to prevent the next issue in its entirety. Because even, let's say, they decide to put a different perimeter secure or a different host-based security product on your computer, what are they putting on there? Webroot? AVG? Symantec? McAfee? I don't know. I mean, some other consumer-grade product. Some other consumer-grade product is what they're going to put on there. And I've said it 100 times before, the consumer-grade products do not provide adequate protection. They don't. They just don't. They're not designed to. They're designed for convenience. They are designed to be unobtrusive. They are not designed to be aggressively protective. So, there you have it. That's why they kind of have a giant naked hole in their capabilities. So, the full solution is what's been listed on my website for a long time now. If you were to go out there and look at the computers and security self-assessment, you'd see you need to have a perimeter security appliance, you need to have a host-based security product, you need to be patching the heck out of your system, and oftentimes that means just hiring somebody to attach your computer to their systems management platform. At that point in time, though, you really have to get into a question of evaluating if you give them access to your computer through the host-based or through the systems management platform, who all has access? Because most consulting firms are using an outsourced solution provider that is anywhere from 200 to 700 people that have full admin access to your computer systems. By the way, the same thing applies for your business. Most people, when they're evaluating a consulting firm to support their business, they are asking a question about, like, well, how many people do you have to be able to pick up the phone and answer my call when I call? That question is the wrong question. If that's the question that you're asking, then you seriously need to reevaluate what your objectives are. Because the question you should really be asking is, number one, how many people in total have full access to my systems? That number should really be less than 10. If it's more than 10, actually, if it's more than 8, I would advise you that that is a catastrophic failure. And the reason I say that's a catastrophic failure is because if you look at a massive corporation, a multinational corporation like SC Johnson, they have 8 global admins. 8 for an environment of 13,000 users. So if the consulting firm is giving out full admin access to your systems to more than 8 people, there is something seriously wrong with that picture. So, number one, you have to ask that question. And the second question you should ask is every person who answers that email or that ticket or that phone call actually qualified to solve all of my problems? And if the answer to that is not yes, then you've also got another problem, because what that means is they have some tier two people who are not really qualified to be making judgment calls about how to make particular changes as they reflect the implications to the rest of your infrastructure. And that type of stuff has huge implications, massive, massive implications. I have seen multitudinous situations where a level two technician will think that simply because they have the username and password to something that they're authorized to make changes. So in that context, oh, they'll go in and say, oh, sure, user is unhappy about XYZ, so I'm just going to go in and turn off that security feature, and I'm going to make that problem go away. And their goal in life is to close that ticket. They don't really care about the long-term ramifications to your environment. They figure that as soon as they close that ticket and make your current issue go away, that somebody else in the organization will pick that ticket up and look at it, which I think is frankly wishful thinking, and then will review what that level two technician did and then take it from there. Well, that strategy, it doesn't work. Okay, it doesn't work because there's all of these pressures to have level 3 or 4 engineers doing billable project work all the time. They are never allocated to sit around and do tickets unless they were the person who the ticket originally got assigned to. That's it. So in my philosophy, if I'm going to provide service to a business, and the engineers that work with me, if we're going to provide service to a business, the presumption is that whoever is actually taking that ticket is actually fully capable of solving all of the problems that could conceivably ever arise at that facility. And that is tremendous. The judgment calls that you will make when you have a full institutional knowledge of all of the various systems and parts and pieces and how they fit together it's tremendous. So, as an example, an engineer architect like myself will come up with creative ways to solve problems that actually prevent problems from occurring again. My goal is not to just close that ticket, and I don't care about how much time it takes to close that ticket. What I care about is that the problem doesn't ever come back again. That's what I care about. So, as you're evaluating companies to provide you IT services for consulting for your business, be very cautious that you're not falling into the wrong questioning methodology of saying, well, how many people do you have in your company? That's actually the worst question. Because I could tell you about companies that have 60 employees that don't, there is not a single, not a single engineer on their payroll that is qualified to provide services to your business. So if the question that you're asking is, well, how many people are in your company? Again, wrong question. It really should be, how many people, if I sign on to do consulting services with you, how many people will have full admin access to my systems? Do you use role-based access control? And are the technicians that will be answering the phone call and email and ticketing requests, are they fully qualified to solve all problems in the entire environment under all circumstances? You know, are they the engineers or are they just technicians? So ask those questions. And of course, if you need an audit or you need some assistance, thinking through those sorts of processes, you can certainly contact me and we can talk about it on the phone. So it seems like I have run out of time to talk about the Spokio Supreme Court lawsuit situation. And I was also going to talk about the smart apps for backdoors into homes, but the next show is always the next show. There's never a shortage of interesting techniques and topics to talk about. So I hope you enjoyed this show about the real-world ramifications of malvertisements and how, yes, indeed, you can actually mitigate those risks. And having a single license of Trend Worry-Free Business Security Services is only going to cost you about $39 a year. But you cannot just go and buy it yourself. It has to be configured and monitored by somebody who is qualified to do that. So ask them what certifications they have in that product and what experience and expertise they have with regards to security strategies in general. So that's it for today. I hope you enjoy the show and go out there and get yourself a real host-based security product, please, so that you're not vulnerable to these malicious advertisements.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
Support for classical music on WGTD comes from Piasecki Althaus, honoring personal legacies in the circle of life. They believe that every detail counts and every memory matters. Piasecki Althaus is located in Kenosha on 39th Avenue, serving the community since 1931.
Support for WGTD comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring prepared food from Superb Grill, rib tips,